is something that I've looked forward to for many years, year after year. And I've just about been a part of this meeting as long as Brother Bass has. He's a little older than I am, you can tell by looking at him. But we do enjoy coming to this place. And I'd like to say in regard to my dad, who has been a part of this meeting for many, many years, that he sends his regards to this meeting. And he would have liked to have been here, but due to sickness, he was unable to come. Amen. We're happy to see all of our friends, our preacher friends that are here today. Amen. And all of the saints of God, good to see Elder Bass. This is kind of like one of my daddies. Amen. And we appreciate being able to be in church with him again. Praise the Lord. I want to get into the word of the Lord. And I want to preach what I feel like. As Brother Bass has said, what I preach today, I'm going to be preaching to us. Amen. And not only to you, but I'm going to be preaching to me. Praise God. And we preachers do preach to ourselves. I reckon that I'm affected by my preaching as much as anybody else is, and it should be that way. Amen. If you'll just stand with us this morning, I want to read in 2 Chronicles chapter 30. 2 Chronicles chapter 30, and I want to begin reading with verse number 1. And Hezekiah sent to all Israel and Judah, and wrote letters also to Ephraim and Manasseh, that they should come to the house of the Lord at Jerusalem to keep the Passover unto the Lord God of Israel. For the king had taken counsel and his princes and all the congregation in Jerusalem to keep the Passover in the second month. Now, if you'll take note, this is the second month. The Passover was to be kept the first month of the afternoon of the 14th day of the first month. But here, Hezekiah has declared the Passovers to be kept on the second month. Amen. For they could not keep it at that time because the priests had not sanctified themselves sufficiently. Neither had the people gathered themselves together to Jerusalem. And the thing pleased the king and all the congregation. For they established a decree to make proclamation throughout all Israel, from Beersheba even to Dan, that they should come to keep the Passover unto the Lord God of Israel at Jerusalem. For they had not done it of a long time in such sort as it is written. They had not done it of a long time in such sort as it was written. I'd like for you to skip over to verse number 26. So there was great joy in Jerusalem, for since the time of Solomon, the son of David, king of Israel, there was not the like in Jerusalem. Then the priests, the Levites, arose and blessed the people, and their voice was heard, and their prayer came up to his holy dwelling place, even unto heaven. There was something that had transpired that had touched heaven. Amen. I would like to preach this morning on this subject. It's been too long, but it's not too late. Amen. It's been too long, but it's not too late. Will you pray with us this morning in the name of Jesus? Father of heaven, we need the touch from above today that you would anoint our lips of clay to minister your word. We thank you for all that you've done. We thank you for what you're going to do today throughout these services. Lord, that you would minister to our hearts in a mighty way today. Lord, touch every saint of God. Bless, Lord, each brother and sister today. In Jesus' name, anoint your word to our hearts. Praise God, praise God, praise God. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Amen. God bless you. Shake hands with somebody and say, praise the Lord. And you can be seated in Jesus' name. Praise God. I realize that in the time that we live, that there is a move of God in this generation. And I realize that God is doing great things. I am an advocate of revival. I believe that God is sending revival in this hour. I believe that God desires to work miracles, signs, and wonders. I do believe that it is happening now. Amen. I've heard the old timers speak of days gone by and how that God moved and how that many souls were added to the church and people were raised from the dead and all of the great miracles of the past. I thank God for those things. I'm glad that today in our generation that it's happening. Amen. That God is filling people with the baptism of the Holy Ghost. I'm thankful because God is revealing the oneness, amen, of His great deity to people in this day. And I believe that there is a necessity in this hour for everybody that's a part of the church to have a revelation of the oneness of God. Amen. A revelation of the oneness of God. I heard somebody make a statement the other afternoon, I believe it was yesterday, amen, that when you get a revelation of the oneness of God, there's a revelation of holiness that goes with it. Because when you understand who God is and what He is, He's a holy God. He's a righteous God. And when we understand what He is, there's something about being able to understand that that causes us to be, amen, to want to be like Him. Hallelujah. The Bible said, Joel 2:28, that in the last days, saith God, I will pour out of my Spirit upon all flesh. It's a promise to our generation that God is going to give revival. I preach restoration. I believe that God is bringing about a restoration in the church. Amen. I believe that the gifts of the Spirit ought to be in operation in the church. I believe in laying hands on the sick and seeing them recover. Amen. I believe in the casting out of devils. Amen. I preach that there's power in the name of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. I believe when the Word of God tells us that if we abide in Him and His Word abide in us, we can ask what we will and it shall come to pass. I believe that. Amen. I believe that if we are willing and obedient, we shall eat the good of the land. Thank God. I'm glad today that all of those promises are ours. But I do not believe today that we have reached, amen, the place in the spiritual realm that we do need to reach. I do not believe, amen, that we have reached that plateau in the spiritual world that God desires for the church, amen, of our generation to reach, amen, and attain to. But I do believe today that there are saints of God that are sitting here on these pews, and there are men of God that have come to this place today, that there's a desire and there's a burden in each heart. Amen. To do ever what it takes to be able to attain to that place in God that we need to attain to. Praise God. I believe that God desires to send that move of that old-fashioned convicting power. Amen. Where men and women run to an altar and cry out in repentance. Amen. And God gloriously fills them with the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Amen. But can I tell you today that it's not musical instrument, it's not eloquent words, it's not, amen, our beautiful buildings and all the things that go along in a natural sense, but it's the moving of the Holy Ghost that's going to bring all of this about. Amen, if beautiful buildings and eloquent preachers, amen, and beautiful choirs would bring about a Holy Ghost revival. Amen, there are many churches in this city that would be having an apostolic revival today. Amen. But that is not what brings it. But I will tell you today what will bring it. Commitment and consecration and dedicating ourselves to God and declaring that we're going to have revival come hell or high water. Amen. That we're going to do the will of God. Amen. Irregardless to what the world may do and the fads and fashions of this life and what may come and what may go. Amen. We are not in a contest. Amen. Or we're trying to outdo one another. But we're all part of the work of God. Amen. Striving for the mastery. Amen. Of Jesus Christ. Praise God. Well, somebody say praise the Lord. 2 Chronicles 7:14, a scripture that's been mentioned many times and preached about, talked about, testified about, but it's still a truth in our day. If my people, which are called by my name, the preacher preached about humbling ourselves. If my people, which are called by my name, will humble themselves and pray and seek my face, turn from their wicked ways, then I will heal their lands. I'm telling you, friend, it's a time to humble ourselves at the mighty hand of God and let God break us. I said, let God break us. Hallelujah. Amen. I feel the Holy Ghost today. Praise God. Brother Johnson, there's something that is vanishing from the ranks of Pentecost. And it scares me when I see it vanishing from our midst. When we can preach about the old rugged cross and the blood that was shed. Amen. When we can tell about that glorious gift that God has given to the world. And men and women, amen, can set in a service. The convicting power of the Holy Ghost can come through a service. And saints of God can sit there or stand there dry-eyed and not be moved by God. Amen. Not humble themselves down and allow God to break them. Listen, friend, I want to fall on that rock so I can be broken. I don't want that rock to fall on me. Amen. And me to be crushed. I want to be broken in the presence of Almighty God. Hallelujah. Amen. It's not faster songs. It's not louder music. But I'll tell you what it is. It's the moving of the Holy Ghost. When the power of God that has been brought to a service through prayer and through dedication and commitment, and that power of God comes through a service. Amen. And people that are standing there in the presence of God, tears begin to flow down their cheeks. Amen. Sisters begin to kneel down in the pew. And brethren begin to kneel in the pew and pray. And cry out to God. Amen. For the will of God in that particular service. I do believe today that it is an hour of desperation. I do believe that we're in the end time. If we really believe what we preach, dear God, why don't we give God the best that we've got? Hallelujah. We will humble ourselves. Amen. The church of Ephesus in Revelation 2. Amen. Would seem like a mighty good church in our generation. Amen. They had a lot of good reports about them. They hadn't denied his name. They had a good report. But Lord, the Lord said, hey, I've still got something against you. You believe in the name. You believe in all of those things. Amen. You believe in that. I commend you for that, but I've got something against you. He said, you have left your first love. You've left your first love. He said, and because of that, if you don't repent, I've got the preachers of the stars in my hand. But if you don't repent, I'm going to take the candlestick away. Amen. We may think we're doing a pretty good job sometime. We have folks pray through and we baptize them in Jesus' name. Amen. And we may feel like that we're doing real good sometime. But we shouldn't go by what we think. We should go by what God thinks. Let us see ourselves in the mirror of God's Word. And really let us see ourselves as we are. And then we can understand that we've not reached it yet. Praise God. Jeremiah said it like this. He said that my people, speaking what God had spoken to him or writing what God had spoken to him. My people have committed two evils. They have forsaken me, the fountain of living water. And they have hewn them out citrons, broken citrons, that can hold no water. Amen. Listen, in this time, in this day, we need some real, born again, Holy Ghost filled, tongue-talking believers.
amen, that will dedicate themselves to prayer and to fasting and will dedicate themselves to the church and say, I am an instrument of God. I will present my body as a living sacrifice unto God, for this is just my reasonable service. I'm not going beyond the call of duty. It's just a reasonable service when I give God the very best that I've got. Amen. What will bring about a revival in our day? Amen. Is to be not conformed to this world, but to be transformed by the renewing of our minds, that we may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Amen. We cannot do it going the way of the world. I said we cannot do it going the way of the world. We've got to stay in the straight and the narrow way if we're going to have revival. Hallelujah. I believe that it's been too long since Acts chapter 2. Amen. It's been too long since Acts chapter 5 and 10. Amen. It's been too long. But I want to tell you, my friend, it's not too late. The same thing that brought revival in Acts, amen, it's going to bring revival in 88. And if the Lord tarries in 89. Amen. Those preachers preached the truth. Those saints lived, amen, the word of God. They were not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. They didn't want to be counted, amen, along with the crowd of the world. They didn't want to go the way of the Pharisee and the Sadducee. Amen. They were the people of God. I said they were the people of God. They had been called out of darkness into the glorious light of the gospel of Jesus Christ. They had got a hold of something that the world did not give. And the world couldn't take it away. And so they decided, amen, we're going to stick with what's right. Hallelujah. It pays to stick with what's right. Preceding chapter 30 of 2 Chronicles. In chapter 28, the Bible gives us a little history of what was transpiring at that particular time. The Bible said in verse 19, "For the Lord brought Judah low because of Ahaz, king of Israel. For he made Judah naked and transgressed sore against the Lord. And the king of Assyria came unto him and distressed him, but strengthened him not. For Ahaz took away portion out of the house of the Lord, and out of the house of the king and of the princes, and gave it unto the king of Assyria. But he helped him not." Amen. He took away from the house of God, and he gave to the king of Assyria. But he helped him not. He distressed him, and he strengthened him not. Listen, this world is not our friend. False doctrine is not our friend. Come on now. Unholy, even unrighteous living is not our friend. Immorality is not our friend. Leaning toward the world to reach the lost will not get the job done. We will become distressed. We will not be strengthened. But we will fall down and we will be naked in the presence of God and in the sight of the world. Amen. That's what happened to Judah. They became naked in God's sight when they turned toward the world. But the Bible said that Ahaz sacrificed unto the gods of Damascus, which smote him, but yet he sacrificed unto them. Even though they smote him, because he thought that the gods of the kings of Syria would help them. Therefore he said, "Will I sacrifice to them that they may help me?" But they were the ruin of him and of all of Israel. When we look to the world for help, amen, when we start worshiping the gods of this world, and we think that their programs, and we feel like that the way they reach folks is going to work for us. I declare to you today, it will not work. It will be the ruin of the preacher. it will be the ruin of the church. And you will see the power of God walk out the front door. And Ichabod will be written over the door. Because the glory of God has departed. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. Judah was in a state of chaos. In so much, amen, that Ahaz had his mind so warped that he gathered together the vessels of the house of God. And he cut in pieces the vessels of the house of God. And he shut up the doors of the house of the Lord. And he made him altars, false altars, in every corner in Jerusalem. Hear me today. When people start leaning toward the world, amen, to see if we can get revival that way, I'm telling you, your mind will get warped. I said your mind will become warped. You'll start taking sacred things and giving it to the devil. You'll cut it up and throw it out to the dogs. You hear this preacher today. If we want revival, we've got to stay with God. And we've got to stay with His book. Praise God. Amen. I had a preacher some few years ago. Used to be a dear friend of mine, and I still pray for him often. Amen. One day I was visiting him. He had invited me to preach for him. As I was preaching, I began to notice things that were transpiring in his life. And one day he gave me a little book. And he said, I want you to read this. And it began to lay out scriptures that would contradict the teachings that we hold dear. Why it's not necessary to preach against jewelry. And where, you know, television's all right. And, you know, it's not necessary to preach against women wearing pants and wearing makeup and women cutting their hair. All these things, you know, that's just traditions of the past. He gave me the book and he said, hey, I don't want you to read anything in the book except the issue on jewelry. That's the only thing I want you to read. I read it, and of course I flipped through the rest of it, and I found out that, you know, it was just some trash that the devil had given him. Amen. And as I left that place, there was sorrow in my heart. Because I realized that here was a man that had come out of a Trinitarian church world. He might have been a preacher in it for a number of years. Had walked into this glorious truth and God had shown it to him. Amen. He had lived a life of holiness. But he had allowed something to warp his mind. And it wasn't long before he was allowing them to come to church in their pants. Amen. He was allowed him to wear the jewelry. He went and bought him a color television set. Amen. He went and got him several rings and put on his finger. He got him a cute little mustache. Amen. On his face. He got all of these things and he went the way of the world. Amen. But he made a remark not too long ago. Amen. That if I had it to do over again, I wouldn't do it like this, but I've gone too far. I've gone too far. Hear me, friend. It doesn't build people up. It doesn't edify the church. I want to tell you what it does. It brings ruin to men. And it brings ruin to the church, to local assemblies. But stand up for what's right. Amen. Preach the truth. Live the truth. Walk in the right. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. It will distress you. It will not strengthen you. You will take what belongs to God and give it to the devil. Amen. You will be sacrificing to strange gods. But they will not help you. Amen. The Bible said that the door to the house of God was shut. It was barred closed. Symbolic to our entrance into the presence of the God of glory. The Bible said through the mouth of the prophet that your sins and your iniquities have separated between you and your God. You hear this preacher today. We can try to sing over sin. We can try to shout over sin. We can try to evangelize the world over sin. But it will not work. I said it will not work. There's got to come a time will stand up and throw Tobiah and Sanballat. We'll throw them out and everything they've got, throw it out. Amen. In Nehemiah's time, Tobiah and Sanballat, which was enemies of God and the work of God. Amen. They tried every way that they could to stop the building of those walls. They sent a message to Nehemiah and said, come to the plain of Ono. Amen. And let us talk with you. Amen. But Nehemiah said, oh no, I'm not going there. Amen. I've got a work to do. I've got a wall to build. I don't have time to mess around with your false doctrine. I don't have time to mess around with your ungodliness and your unrighteousness. I've got a revival I want to have. I've got some souls that I want to reach. I can't do it talking to you. Oh, hallelujah. Amen. Old Tobiah had set him up a chamber in the house of God. In the house of God. And he's still doing it today. Come on. He had him a chamber in the house of God. Had all of his beautiful little possessions that he had in that chamber with him. Summer chamber. Oh, he was living it up and having a heyday in the house of God. Amen. But there was a man by the name of Nehemiah that had had enough of his garbage. But I just don't think it ought to be that way. Amen. Pick up the telephone and say, I just don't know why he won't let us trim our hair. And I just don't know why we can't have this. We can't have that. That's what Tobiah was doing. Amen. Listen, I'm a revivalist. But there comes a time when you've got to stop the mouth of the devil. Come on now. I said you've got to stop the mouth of the devil. Nehemiah said you go get him and you throw him out of that place. Everything that he's got, get it out. Because we're having revival. We're fixing to have a move of God. And we don't want the devil in this place, in his chamber. Amen. Hindering what God's going to do. Throw him out. Hear me today. It's time that the saints of God would stand with the man of God and say, preach it straight. Tell it right. We want revival. Amen. And these sissies and these wimps. Amen. Got jello for a backbone. And every time the preacher preaches against sin, amen, they get all ruffled. And they go home and they tell somebody, I'm not coming back to that place again. Good riddance. Amen. I don't mind working with people. I'm patient with people. I'm long-suffering with people. But there comes a time you've got to look at the devil and say, hey, I don't even want you to come back. Amen. Here recently in our church, I got up and Brother Bob Fuller was in revival with us. And after he had got through, I decided I'd preach a little bit. Amen. I got up and started preaching against rock music, country music, and television. And I watched the guy in the back. He'd been coming to church for a good while. And I watched him, and man, he was about to have a nervous breakdown. Amen. And all of a sudden, as soon as church was over, whoo. Because I knew what was wrong with him. Amen. Walked around the house with his little stereo, you know, with earphones on, listening to rock music. Set up till 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning watching the television he had. Amen. His wife said, you offended him. I'd already went to see him one time. He did it once before. I'd already went to see him. Talked to him, explained it. You know, you got to do things like that. Explained it, hey, you know. Anybody with one eye and horse sense ought to know some things. But I said, listen, you can tell him I won't be deceived. If he wants to come back and repent, he can come repent. But I'm not going to see him. Amen. There comes a time you've got to get rid of the devil. Praise God. I said, praise God. Amen. If you preach it, you'll stir him up, I'll guarantee you. Amen. There's no way you can sit around and not get stirred up. If you preach it, you're going to get under his skin. Praise God. Everybody said hallelujah. Hezekiah became the king of Judah. Chapter 29, verse 3, the Bible said in his first year of his reign, in the first month, he opened the doors of the house of the Lord and repaired them. First of all, Hezekiah said, we want to get back into the presence of God. Amen. Then he said, sanctify now yourselves and sanctify the house of the Lord God of your fathers and carry forth the filthiness out of the holy place. Get the filthiness out of the holy place. I want to tell you what's a hindrance to revival in our generation. It's not always somebody that's in adultery. It's not always somebody that's going out to a bar that, you know, slipping around and drinking. But sometimes the biggest hindrance of revival is filthy spirits that are brought to the house of God. Spirits of competition. Come on. Spirits of competition. When singers get up and see who can sing, out-sing each other. When preachers see if they can out-preach each other. When saints say, pastor, don't forget what I did now when you start putting glory on somebody. Hey, don't forget I vacuumed the church out. You know, don't forget I gave that $500, you know, gift offering. Don't forget to mention those things. You know, you mentioned where Brother Jim, you know, he gave that $200. You don't forget to mention where I gave $500 now. Spirits of competition. Amen. Who'll give $100 in the offering tonight? Amen. A couple of hands are raised, you know. I just about received an offering there. Amen. I feel the presence of the Lord. It's time to take up an offering. That's what the preacher said last night. Amen. Who's going to give $100 in the offering? Well, brother, I'll give $200. It's all right to give $200, but don't let a spirit of competition get in it. Preacher, look at the souls that I've won. Look at all the folks that I bring to church. That's not part of revival. I said, that's not part of revival when we're seeking to get glory ourselves. You forget about yourself and decide I'm going to do it for God and the work of God. And God will bless you. And God will give you revival in your soul and in your home and in your church. Hallelujah. When I sing, I sound like a bullfrog sometimes. Amen. Thank you. Brother Barnum said, amen. Praise the Lord. But listen, I'd rather hear somebody that didn't have that good of a voice come humbly and sing under the anointing and the inspiration of God than to see somebody get up and try to mimic the Hensons, long-haired bunch of reprobates. Amen. Or to get up and try to mimic some of these other folks. Amen. But get up under the inspiration of the Holy Ghost and to feel the glory of God go through an audience and see people weeping under the presence of God. Hear me today. Amen. That's what we need in the church. Not a spirit of competition. Not somebody that says, I'm going to be mad if I don't get to play the piano tonight. I'm going to get upset if it doesn't call on me to sing. Amen. Listen, we don't need that in the church. Spirits of envy and strife. Amen. Trying, you know, to be better than somebody else and jealous if we're not. had a lady in the church a while back, and I told them this over the pulpit. I said, there's certain folks in this church, amen, you have a nervous breakdown every time my wife gets a new dress, wondering how much she paid for it. Amen. Why, she got one last month. She'd get one every week if I could afford it. Matter of fact, I'd probably buy her one every day. She deserves it. Putting up with some folks. Amen. First of all, it wasn't any of her business. Secondly, amen, my wife deserved what she got. And I was her husband, and I'm the one that paid for it. Well, you use my ties. Wasn't yours. It's been too long. Amen. Since we've really had a Book of Acts revival. And it's spirits like that that hang around the church that keep it from happening like God wants it to happen. It's not those who are in the groove that pray and fast and believe God and worship and stand with the man of God. It's the devils that sit on the sideline and try to stop what God's doing. But hear me today. If those that believe it, if those that stand for it, if you get together with a man of God and not let those folks affect you and dedicate yourself to God, commit yourself to revival, you can have it. You can have it. But God will have to sort out, amen, some of those tares. Amen. There's going to be a separation. Hallelujah. And everybody said amen. I want you to notice what he said. Verse number 8 of chapter 29. Wherefore the wrath of the Lord was upon Judah and Jerusalem. And he hath delivered them to trouble, to astonishment and hissing, as you see with your eyes. For lo, our fathers have fallen by the sword. Our sons and our daughters and our wives are in captivity for this. For what? For forsaking God. For going after the way of the world. Our sons, our daughters are in captivity for this. See a mom and a dad come in an office, tears running down their cheek. Pastor, what am I going to do? My daughter's messed up. What am I going to do? And you have to look at them and say, I told you not to let her date that sinner boy. I told you not to let her be going out like she's going out. I told you not to have preacher for supper and for breakfast and dinner. I told you not to sit around the table and talk about the saints of God. Our sons and our daughters are in captivity for this. You hear me, friend? Amen. We can say we want revival. We can chomp at the bits and say we're going to have it. We might have it to a degree, but we're not going to have it like God wants us to have it. Amen. Until we conquer some of these fleshly things. Amen. That's trying to attach ourselves or to attach themselves to us and sap our spiritual strength out. Man of God spends probably over 50% of his time in the pulpit. Amen. Trying to keep people in line. And it ought not to be like that, Brother McClure. Somebody needs to get a fresh look. Somebody needs to take inventory and see what the devil is doing to their home. Amen. Ahaz, he saw what was happening, but he went on just like he was doing. and he did not change. And the Bible said, if my people will humble themselves, if they will pray, if they will turn from their wicked ways, if they will seek my face, I will heal their lands. It's been too long, but it's not too late. Hallelujah. Hezekiah said, you see what's happened. Let's sanctify ourselves. He said, my sons, be not negligent. For the Lord hath chosen you to stand before him and to serve him, that you should minister unto him and burn incense. I believe that every saint of God that's a part of this assembly today, amen, every minister of the gospel that's here today, that God has called us, amen, to the kingdom for such a time as this. I believe we're here, amen, by divine order of God today. I believe that we're here today because God sees something in us, amen, and he's going to honor us that we might become part of the work that he's going to do in these last days. He's going to bless us with that power from on high. He's going to bless us with the ability, amen, to do his work in this hour. It's not by might, it's not by power, but it's by the Spirit of God. And God won't work over sin. God won't work over bad spirits. Amen. We've got to come to God, consecrated, committed, crucified, amen, dead to what people think, and dead to the world. Hallelujah. It was just about time. Amen. For a great occasion to take place. It was time to celebrate the Passover in remembrance of what God had done for Israel. How that God had delivered them out of Egyptian bondage. It's time to be in remembrance of these things. For God said, when you perform this service, and the children say, why do we do this? You can say, because of what God has done. He brought us out of Egyptian bondage. But Hezekiah said, we can't do it yet. We can't do it yet. Amen. There's got to be something else that takes place. Verse number 23, they brought forth the he-goats for the sin offering before the king and the congregation. And they laid their hands upon them. The priest killed them and made reconciliation with their blood upon the altar to make an atonement for all Israel. For the king commanded the burnt offering and the sin offering should be made for all of Israel. It was time, amen, for the Passover. It should have been kept in the first month, the afternoon of the 14th day. But Hezekiah said, it's going to be a little bit too late. Amen, or it's going to be a little bit late. But when we do it, we're going to do it right. Amen, let's have a sin offering brought to God. Amen, let's have some commitment and some dedication. Let's have some repentance. Amen, ask God to forgive our slothfulness. Amen. Ask God to forgive our shortcomings. And then we're going to celebrate the Passover. But not until. Hallelujah. If we want to celebrate revival, there's got to be a spirit of repentance and brokenness that will come over us. God gets sick and tired of people sweeping sin under the rug and saying it's all right. Let's come on and worship God right on top of it. It's time to pull it out and confess it to God and say, God, I am sorry. Because God's not going to overlook it until you confess it to him. But nobody saw it, preacher. It doesn't matter. God did. Amen. People can come to a church. They can talk about the preacher. They can cause chaos and confusion. And all they got got to do is go to another church, amen, with arms open wide. Come on, we'll accept you into our fellowship. There's plenty of those type churches around. I've got them in my place. You can go there, you can wear your pants, you can cut your hair, amen, you can do anything you want to do, and you can still be called Pentecostal. And then after a while, they get sick and tired of dead churches. Come on. They get tired of going to a place where they can't feel anything. They get tired of going to a place where the preacher's a sissy. Amen. And a deacon board runs the church. They get tired of that. So they come back. Brother Pastor, we'd like to come back to your church. Let's move the rug. Let's see what's under it. Remember all these things you said? You remember all the people you told it to? You go back and make all of that right. Then we'll talk about it. Amen. You watch people in a church. Everybody's worshiping, they're praising the Lord. Except four or five, you know. They're supposed to have the Holy Ghost baptized in Jesus' name. And they're sitting there like deadheads. You can see condemnation written all over their face. After a while, you see them trying to, you know, they'll get up a little bit. After a while, they'll clap their hand a little bit. And then when the power of God comes through the place, all of a sudden you can hear them squeal. Amen. And that's to bring our sins and confess them to Him. And say, God, I'm sorry. And to make people who we have wronged, make it right with them. Make it right with the preacher. Make it right with the church. And then God will say, I'll forgive you now. Amen. Now we can go on to revival. You can have revival in your soul. You can have it in your home. And you can be a part of the revival that God's given the church. Amen. All of this was performed. Amen. There was that offering that was brought. And in verse 36, Hezekiah rejoiced in all the people. There's something about cleaning out your spiritual man that brings a rejoicing. Hezekiah was rejoicing that God had prepared the people because they had come to him. For the thing was done suddenly. Then Hezekiah said, hey, it's been too long, but it's not too late. Let's celebrate the Passover. Let's celebrate the Passover. Amen. That sacrifice was prepared. Even the Bible said, for they had not done it of a long time, in such a sort as it was written. The Bible said that Hezekiah said to the people, ye children of Israel, turn again unto the Lord God of Abraham, of Isaac and Israel, and He will return to the remnant of you that are escaped out of the hand of the kings of Assyria. Don't be like your fathers and like your brethren, which trespassed against the Lord God of their fathers, who therefore gave them up to desolation, as you see. Now be ye not stiff-necked as your fathers were, but yield yourselves unto the Lord, and enter into His sanctuary, which He hath sanctified forever, and serve the Lord your God, that the fierceness of His wrath may turn from you. The post, the Bible said, that they passed throughout the gates of the city. Amen. They went to Ephraim and Manasseh, even unto Zebulun. But the Bible said there were some that laughed at them. They laughed them to scorn. And they mocked at them. There's going to be some folks that are going to laugh when you preach holiness. They're going to laugh when you preach worship. They're going to laugh when you preach revival. But keep on telling it. Because the next verse said that there were some that heard it. There were some that believed it. There were some that came. Oh, yes. There were some that heard it. And there were some that came from Manasseh and Zebulun and from Asher and they humbled themselves and they came to Jerusalem. And God gave to them one heart. One heart. That's what we need in the church. It's one heart. Unity. Binding together. Revival. It comes through a unified effort. One heart to do the commandment of the king and of the princes by the word of God. Then they arose. They took away the false altars. The altars of incense, the false ones. They took them and cast them into the brook of Kidron. Then they killed the Passover on the 14th day of the second month. It was a little late, but it wasn't too late. Amen. I said it was a little late, but it wasn't too late. It hadn't been like this since the time of Solomon. Several hundred years since this had transpired. It was a little late, but it wasn't too late. They said, let's do it. The preacher said, let's do it. The church said, let's do it. And they did it. And the glory of God fell. Hallelujah. Amen. And Hezekiah said, the good Lord pardon everyone that prepareth his heart to seek God, the Lord God of his fathers, though he be not cleansed according to the purification of the sanctuary. And the Lord hearkened to Hezekiah, and he healed the people. That's what we need today. We need a healing among the people. I said we need a healing among the people. A healing that will bring us to righteousness. A healing that will get a hold of our young people. And will cause them to want to be like God. It will cause them to want to pick up the Bible and read it. It will cause them to want to fast and pray until God gives them a revelation of what evangelism and revival is all about. We need a healing in our churches. I may be just preaching to myself. I might just be preaching to my church today. But hear me, friend. I believe with all of my heart that that is what we need in this generation. Amen. For too long we have settled. Amen. With second best. For too long we have settled. Amen. For a few songs and a sermon. And walked out empty. Out of the house of God. For too long we've allowed the enemy to come in. And pursue us. Amen. And to overwhelm us. And to get the best of us. It's time to sanctify ourselves. It's time to get Tobiah out. And all of the filthiness of the house out. It's time to have revival. I want you to hear it today. The Passover was kept. The Lord had pardoned them. And the children of Israel, those that had been healed, that were present at Jerusalem, kept the feast of the unleavened bread 7 days with great gladness. And the Levites and the priests praised the Lord day by day, singing with loud instruments unto the Lord. Amen. And verse number 26 said, so there was great joy in Jerusalem. For since the time of Solomon, the son of David, king of Israel, there was not the like in Jerusalem. Then the priests, the Levites, arose and they blessed the people. And their voice was heard. And their prayer came up to his holy dwelling place, even unto heaven. Hallelujah to God. That didn't happen by accident. It had been a long time since that had transpired. Since Solomon had walked out and had prayed that prayer and the dedication of that temple. And the glory of God had filled that house. It had been a long time since then. Since he had made his ascent to the house of God. And the Queen of Sheba had marveled at the glory and the presence of God. It had been a long time since then. But there were some people that decided under the leadership of a godly king that said it's time to do it again. It's time, amen, to have it again. It's time to commit ourselves and to see what God will do. The Bible said the glory filled the house. The glory filled the place. Amen. It extended all the way up to the heights of glory. Because there was no sin. There was no iniquity that separated them from their God. Let's praise Him right now. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Oh, praise God. Praise God. Amen. I close with this today. When I read in the book of Acts about the signs and wonders that happened there, I read Acts chapter 2 about the outpouring of the Holy Ghost. I haven't had revival like they've had it. I haven't. And if you're honest, you haven't either. I haven't reached 1% of my city yet. But I believe I can. I said, I believe I can. I believe that we are living in the time. I believe it's now. Amen. When we leave this conference and we go back to our respectful churches, I believe we're going to see revival in a measure like we haven't seen in a long time. I believe it's coming. I believe God's promise is being fulfilled. But it's not going to come to everybody. I've heard preachers say end time revival is going to fall on everybody. I don't believe it. God doesn't give revival over sin. When they came to the church and they got the Holy Ghost and didn't even want it, I don't believe that either. Amen. If you want revival, you got to pay the price. If you want to reach your city, you got to pay the price. I want to reach mine. I said, I want to reach mine. It's been too long since we've seen some of these things. But it's not too late. I said, it's not too late. It's time to humble ourselves, if you'll stand right now. To humble ourselves under the mighty hand of God. To seek the Lord. Hallelujah. And let Him heal. Let Him heal the people. Let Him bring to remembrance what He has done. And see what He will do now. In this our hour. Let's lift our hearts and our hands and our voices today. Amen. And let's submit ourselves to the Lord this morning.